you remember last week? So ask me the word. This two shlokas after this has been already done, what has been written. And 15 days left.
Hari Satisfied somehow or other and controlling the senses from sense enjoyment one, then very quickly satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Janardana. Wherefore, these are some of the ways in which the Supreme Personality of God can be satisfied by the devotee. The first item mentioned is Dayaya Sarvabhuteshu, showing mercy to all conditioned souls. The best way to show mercy is to spread Krishna consciousness, all the suffering for want of this knowledge. People should know that the Supreme Personality of God is the original cause of everything. Knowing this, everyone should directly engage in his devotional service. Those who are actually learned, advanced in spiritual understanding, should preach Krishna consciousness all over the world so that people may take to it and make their lives successful. The word Sarvabhuteshu is significant because it applies not only to human beings but to all the living entities appearing in the 8,400,000 species of life. The devotee can be good not only to humanity, but to all living entities as well. Everyone can benefit spiritually by the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. When the transcendental vibration of Hare Krishna is sounded, even the trees, animals, and insects benefit. Thus, when one chants the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra loudly, he actually shows mercy to all living entities. To spread the Krishna consciousness movement throughout the world, the devotee should be satisfied in all conditions. Narayana Parasarvena Kudaschana Vidyati Svarga Pavarganarakeshu Api Tulyartha Darshanaha. It does not matter to the pure devotee if he has to go to hell to preach. The Supreme Lord lives in the heart of a hog, although the Lord is in Vaikuntha. Even while preaching in hell, a pure devotee remains a pure devotee by his constant association with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. To attain this state, one has to control his senses. The senses are automatic control, and one's mind is engaged in the service of the Lord. Translated by Allah, showing mercy to all living entities, being satisfied somehow or other, and controlling the senses from sense and enjoyment, one can very quickly satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So here is mentioned some activities which are pleasing to the Supreme Lord. The first one is showing mercy to all living entities. The other is being satisfied in all conditions. And the third is to control the senses. If we examine these in themselves, they are not considered angas of bhakti. But they're often mentioned, as we'll see also in the discussion of bhakti in the 12th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. So the main principles of bhakti or devotion are engagement in the senses directly in things which please the Lord, such as hearing and chanting and deity worship, etc. So these are the direct angas of devotional service. And that does not include these things, such as simply controlling the senses, being satisfied, or showing mercy to all living entities. These are actually things which we'll find described in relation even to jnana, or in relation to sattva gun. So, that does not mean, of course, that the devotee does not follow these principles, but they are secondary to the main performances of bhakti, such as hearing and chanting. So we don't necessarily violate other conditions or rules in sattva gun or in other processes, but at the same time, the main processes are those which directly induce bhakti in the jiva. So those are the main angas of bhakti. And so these things, of course, are favorable for the development of devotional service. If, however, they become prominent, then we may end up with a different result. For instance, we emphasize sattva gun or the process of jnana, and then we're going to end up as more jnana and less bhakti. So we have to be careful in how we apply these different principles. Of course, we can also make these things spiritual. We can spiritualize these things also, as Prabhupada has mentioned in the purport. So being merciful to all living entities, of course, has a wide range of meaning, from feeding other living entities, to feeding human beings, to caring for human beings, etc. At the same time, caring for other living entities ultimately means that we should look after them spiritually as well as materially. So if we preach to the living entities and distribute the holy name to all living entities, of course, also is being merciful to all living entities. So in this way, the mercy becomes transformed into a spiritual activity of preaching. Still, that does not mean we have to neglect the other living entities and be cruel towards them physically. We should also follow the negative angas of bhakti, such as do not harm any living entities. This is also included within the angas of bhakti. So, in a negative way, we should not be cruel to other living entities. And as Prabhupada also mentions, controlling the senses ultimately means the way we do this is by engaging the senses in serving the Supreme Lord. So that means engaging the tongue and taking prasad, and engaging the eye and looking at the deity, engaging the ear and hearing about Krishna. So in that sense, it becomes devotional service, these activities. So the way in which we control the senses and withdraw from draw them from sense gratification is to engage the senses in devotional service. So the other way of saying this is we should preach about Krishna to all living entities. That is how we show mercy, and we should control the senses by engaging all of our senses in devotional service. And this way it becomes direct. Being satisfied in all conditions, somehow being satisfied in all conditions. This, of course, is also part of the, we can say, satvagun mentality, or even the mentality of the jnani, in which they are not attached to external sense enjoyment, rather they have joy within. And that is described in the second chapter with the analogy of the turtle withdrawing his limbs within. And so he's no longer enjoying outwardly, but inwardly, because of Atma, or the soul. So he's satisfied in that condition. The devotee, on the other hand, is satisfied not because of simply Atma, but because of the Supreme Lord. He is satisfied in serving the Supreme Lord, and he can do that within also. So, therefore, being satisfied in all conditions means simply having a relationship with the Supreme Lord, and this will keep him completely satisfied in all conditions. So it is said that the devotee, because he is serving the Lord, does not desire sarupya, samipya, salokya, etc. He does not desire liberation. He does not desire svargaloka, because of his service to the Supreme Lord. That gives him complete satisfaction. So, therefore, these conditions mentioned here can be taken in the opposite way in terms of direct devotional activities. If they're simply taken only in their literal meaning, then of course they become indirect means of satisfying the Lord as compared to the direct angas of devotional service. In any case, the Supreme Lord is satisfied when in all with all things he's satisfied with all processes, whether it's karma yoga, jnana yoga, whether it's stanga yoga and bhakti yoga. But we also know that relatively speaking the Lord is satisfied with bhakti, and therefore in the 11th canto Krishna tells Uddhava, I am not satisfied with these other processes, whether it is Sankhya or Karma or Yoga, etc. These are not satisfying to me, but Bhakti is satisfying to me. So though all the processes are approved by the Lord because they're written in the scriptures, still, relatively speaking, the process of Bhakti is the most pleasing to the Supreme Lord. And therefore the other processes take secondary place. The other point, of course, is that in Kali Yuga, the other processes are not encouraged at all. And therefore, at the end of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Sarva Dharma Parityaja. And in the Bhagavatam, again, the whole instruction to the sages by Suta Goswami is that you give up everything and simply hear about the pastimes of the Supreme Lord. People in Kali Yuga will be purified by this, not by other processes, such as karma or jnana or Sangha Yoga. So the main process is concentrated upon Krishna with the processes of bhakti, and particularly hearing about Krishna and chanting his name. So, and therefore, the Lord is pleased with everything, but he is most pleased with bhakti. And he's most pleased when the object of worship in bhakti is Krishna. Krishna is pointed out as the Swayam Bhagavan, or the complete manifestation of all the qualities of the Lord. And therefore in Kali Yuga people are most fallen, and therefore it is best that we have the most attractive form of the Lord. People need to be attracted away from materialism. So the most attractive form of the Lord is Krishna. So therefore the worship of Krishna within bhakti is the form to be worshipped in Kali Yuga. So not only bhakti, but the object of bhakti is Krishna. And we also know that among the different processes to engage the senses in Kali Yuga, the process is chanting the name of Krishna, Nam Sankirtan. So therefore we have chanting the name as the main process of bhakti in Kali Yuga, and the main object of worship is Krishna. So therefore the two things together become the Yuga Dharma, chanting the name of Krishna. And this becomes the effective way of distributing mercy to all the people of the world. That is the first thing here, doyaya sarvabhuteshu. It is the best way for satisfaction, and it is the best way of controlling the senses, which is mentioned here also. So these are the ways in which the Supreme Lord can be pleased. We have the secondary processes and the main processes, main process which is bhakti, and in the main process of bhakti we have chanting the name. So this is the process which has to accompany everything else. So we have other processes of bhakti, but chanting the name has to accompany those. And if we do other processes, again, the chanting has to be there. So therefore, the all other processes take shelter of Nam Sankirtan, Krishna's name.
Mm-hmm.
Well, of course, Nam Sankirtan is the Kali Yuga Dharma of all yugas, of all Kali Yugas, Sankirtans. There's 1,000 Kali Yugas in the day of Brahma, so the names are there. But according to the Bhagavatam, the object of worship is Krishna. So therefore Krishna's name should be the name. Now, of course, other sampradayas worship other forms also. And of course, chanting the name also for them is not the main process. They may have Archana as the main process, whatever. But as we know from Bhagavatam and from Vishnu Purana, etc. The main process in Kali Yuga is Sankirtan. And from Bhagavatam we understand that the main object of worship is Krishna.
Sometimes when you ask them, what is your taste? They say, let me become true, but myself have not heard taste. How we can teach others to chant?
Well, of course, some level of purity is required at the same time. The nature of Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement is to be very merciful to all the jivas. So if we want to please Lord Chaitanya, then somehow or other that preaching spirit should also be there to spread the name of Krishna to all living entities. Krishna himself is very merciful by speaking Bhagavad Gita or by teaching to Uddhava, etc. So one that pleases the Supreme Lord by doing this. Now of course we can say that one has to be elevated to do that, that is so, but how elevated? If we have to reach the ultimate stage, which is very rare, then we will have very few people spreading the glories of the Lord around the world. So, at the same time, if we have faithless people doing it, this also is not proper. So we're going to hire people to preach. That would be ridiculous. So it is said that if a Vaishnava preaches and utters the stories of the Lord, then it is spiritual. And if a non-Vaishnava speaks the stories of the Lord, then it becomes poison. So at least one has to have proper faith and conviction, etc., and then some knowledge, and then he can carry out the preaching work and it has some potency.
Sometimes we find that devotees, they have strong, austere vows like Nirjala Ekadashi or like keeping once a day. So does that, these activities also pleasing to the Lord, like austerity, how do you use it?
Well, austerity in itself, like vairagya, is not so pleasing to the Lord. Vairagya is mentioned in the Nectar Devotion, along with jnana and other things. Vairagya and jnana are not angas of bhakti. And if they become too prominent, then they actually disrupt bhakti. So the austerities we do, of course, are within bhakti itself. So there are fasting days like Ekadasi, etc. So if we fast on it, it's fine, and we can remember the Lord, that is permitted. But on the other hand, if we carry that to extremes, then that can also interfere with the process of bhakti.
Perhaps we the Lord and his name and the words spoken by him are all non-different. So we say that Bhagavad Gita is also non-different from the Supreme Lord. But for the faithless, Bhagavad Gita should not be spoken. Unless somebody has faith in Krishna and in his words, it becomes an offense. But at the same time, the holy names can be sung and that is not offensive. I mean, you can really listen to the holy names.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, why is there a difference between...
Well, that is like preaching to the faithless, as one of the operands. So we cannot preach the names of the faithless persons. Yes, they can hear it, but we don't preach about it to them. So the name is there, and if they hear it, fine. At the same time, if they have no faith and we're telling them all about Krishna and the name and chanting and we're encouraging them to chant, then that's not considered proper because they can simply offend. But they simply hear the name, and there's nothing wrong with that. They can get purified with that.
Showing mercy is like what? Sometimes the devotee themselves, they do a lot of austerity. They have to show mercy in preach. They spoil their regular sadhana. And after some time, they just come down.
Well, that is, again, as I said, the desire for giving out mercy has to also be balanced with the faith aspect or the taste for the processes of bhakti and chanting. And if the chanting decreases as a result, then obviously the potency is lost. So at all times in preaching, one has to have that faith and taste. If that is lost, then the potency of the preaching also is lost, so it becomes a futile endeavor. So one has to balance out. Of course, if one is on the highest level, it doesn't matter. He doesn't have to practice anymore. His nature is to be have a taste for the Lord. But if one is practicing sadhana bhakti, he has to be careful that that taste is always maintained. And he cannot sacrifice that. Otherwise, his efforts become useless.
Well, if apart from following the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, nobody is following Guru Dharma.
Mm-hmm.
Because apart from followers of Gaudiya Vaishnavas, nobody is following Guru Dharma because no other sampradaya has as per their main Guru Dharma. Because they do not have chanting.
Oh, what do they do? Well, Vallabhas, I don't know, is there chanting in Sarvain process or not? I don't know.
Wonderful they chant.
And well, of course, that's not one of the main sampradayas, but Nimbarkas also, I don't know what is their main, they also chant. So whether they call the main Dharma or not, I don't know.
Let's start.
సరే అడిగితే దానికి చెప్పారు మహారాజు మూడు విషయాలు చెప్పారు.